Welcome to Lynn's Creek Missionary Baptist Church Sunday School Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew Neely. Our Sunday School material is from Baptist Training Course, Training for Service, from Bogard Press. June 16th, 2019, Lesson 3, Understanding Our Heritage. Our text today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Our key verse, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2:10. Our application, the student will know and remember the blessings God has given him and that God can keep him stable in difficult times. Editorial comment. You may notice that some of the bells and whistles, fancier things in the podcast are missing this time. That is because the podcast has fallen in the back burner and there's a lot of other things going on this week. And I had to be as expeditious as I could, so I skipped some of the fancier parts. But the whole lesson is there, so enjoy.
A first look.
Real change in our lives begins in our souls. These soul changes will then have a visible effect on our physical lives. Something real and dramatic happens when a human being repents of his sin and places his faith in Jesus. That permanent change of the heart will then be shown as a corresponding change in the life of the individual. We may be new creatures, but understanding what has happened in our souls will deepen and strengthen us. It is possible to be saved and then ignore the further leadership of the Holy Spirit so that we do not enjoy the fruit of our salvation. We can even forget that we were purged from our old sins. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, the Bible says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, and unto them which disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We learn by comparing things we already know with the things we yet to learn. This is why Jesus taught in parables. He used earthly stories to teach us heavenly truths. Peter learned from the master teacher, and he used the same method to set before us the great truths of these verses. The main teaching in this lesson is that we can understand the new life we have in Christ and then live according to that knowledge. A prince may live like a pauper, but in his heart he knows that he is a prince and that the palace is truly his home. God's children may have to endure all kinds of trials and tribulations, but we can do so knowing that glory is waiting for us just a few short steps away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and weight of glory." When we understand the depths of our new life in Christ, we can live confident in the hope of a great blessing in our future.
A closer look.
Babies and milk. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Over the years, there have been many things that have divided the children of God. In spite of all these divisions, there is one permanent event that unites them. Every child of God is born into the family of God in the exact same way. If we are God's children, then we have been born again through our faith in Jesus. Our physical birth gave us our Adamic natures, and our spiritual birth gave us our new nature in Christ. Pastor's note, I want you to understand that God has children, but no grandchildren. You either get in because of your own faith, or you're not in at all. You can't get in because your daddy was a pastor, your uncle was a deacon, because your great aunt was one of the founding members of the church. It doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who you are in Christ, in pastor's note. Our physical birth brought with it the curse of death. Everything born of flesh will die and decay. That is, by the best efforts of humanity, will always end in failure. If we try to build our spiritual lives on fleshly things, then we will fail. But if we build our hope on the eternal Word of God, we will be internally successful. Peter set forth a standard of behavior that simply cannot be performed in the flesh. Peter taught us to lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies, envy, and evil speaking. Each of these is born in our hearts, and they come readily and naturally to our fleshly natures. We cannot lay them aside as an act of our will. If we try, we'll eventually be overcome by these lusts of the flesh. However, if we base our changed behavior on the new life that Jesus has brought to our souls, we can both control and set aside the desires of the flesh. The power to change is not in us, it's in Jesus. We can see how these five expressions of our fleshly nature will bring havoc into our lives. A person who is malicious and envious and evil-speaking, a hypocrite, is not a happy person, and he will not make others in his life happy either. The poison of the fleshly nature will kill and destroy. Happily, there is another way for those who have received the new nature of Jesus through the new birth. This begins where we, like many newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. We must be milk drinkers before we can be meat eaters. Think about your spiritual growth and development like climbing a ladder. We must take every step, and we must take them in order. We must not get far off the ground with a few steps, but they are essential. There are no part of our spiritual development that can be skipped or overlooked. We begin by being saved. Nothing will substitute for our personal experience of salvation. We must be saved before we attempt any other spiritual transaction. When we are saved, we should follow the Lord in baptism. Baptism does not save us, but it is an essential step in our spiritual development, and we must not skip it. Then we should find a place of service in a local New Testament church. The church membership will not save our souls, but if we are to grow in the grace and knowledge, we need to be in a scriptural church. We must then learn the simple things of the Bible. We must begin at the beginning. Many people want to dive headlong into the great mysteries of the Bible without understanding the basic truths of the Bible. We should strive to learn everything God reveals to us, but we must make our spiritual education one step at a time. To master calculus, we must learn how to add and subtract. Do not try to write a novel without first knowing the alphabet. 2. Buildings and Stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it also is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion, the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. We learn something so that we can be part of something. Peter compared God's people to living stones in a spiritual building. The most talented builder cannot build using rotten wood or crumbling stone. Our purpose in learning the Word of God is to become like Jesus. We are to become like Him in our submission to the Father and in our dependence on God to supply our every need. God's plan will not suit our fleshly nature. Jesus is the chief cornerstone and is the main point of human history, yet he was rejected by most men while he was here on earth. Jesus is a living stone in contrast to the dead and dying philosophies of men. He is the chosen stone chosen by God for the work that he did, and he is the precious stone. It is interesting to note that some of the most precious things on earth are really only stones. Diamonds and emeralds and rubies. They're just stones. They're beautiful and they're rare stones, but they are stones. Jesus is a precious jewel of God, the unique and priceless Son of God. We are spiritual stones. We are the building stones, like the many stones used to erect a great building. This building is not physical, it is spiritual. In the same way a skilled mason would use many stones to build the wall of a great building, God uses each of his children as a stone in the building of a spiritual house. Note that Jesus used this teaching about a building in his first mention of the church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 8. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Pastor's note. Some people see this verse as giving Peter more authority and importance than the other apostles. In fact, the Catholics use this verse to justify Peter being the first pope. Jesus is thou art Peter. Peter is a Greek form of a word which means a small stone. You are a little stone, Jesus was telling him. You're important, Peter, but upon this rock, this bedrock, this huge stone, which is me, I'll build my church. The bedrock he was talking about was himself. Peter was not the first pope. Peter was a special guy, but he was a guy. When Jesus was talking here about upon what he was building his church, it wasn't the fallacies of a man. It was Jesus Christ himself. In pastor's note. A building will have a cornerstone which serves as a reference for all other parts of the building. Jesus is the cornerstone for the spiritual building of God. Peter quoted from Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation that he believeth shall not make haste. And also in Psalms 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. He used both of these verses to make this point. The cornerstone of a building is the reference point for the builders. When any builder gets confused, he can go back to the cornerstone and get his bearings. In the same way, those who believe in Jesus and base their lives on him will not be confused. When we drift away from Jesus, we can forget where we are and what we are doing. When we stay close to him, we will gain confidence even when we don't understand the things that are happening around us. Jesus is precious. He is vital to those who believe in him and depend on him, but he is an obstacle for those who reject him. The Jews of Jesus' day stumbled because Jesus was not what they expected the Messiah to be. Pastor's note. We often worship the God we want instead of the God who is. We create a God in our own mind that's okay with our sin, that's okay with what we want to do, that has the same priorities as we do. The fact is, God exists, and his internal nature is described in the Bible. We can either submit to God as he is or worship an idol we created in our mind. You hear that today constantly when people say, that's not my Jesus. You're exactly right, that's not your Jesus, because your Jesus is not found in the Bible, and your Jesus only exists between your ears. The real Jesus, the Jesus that existed in history, the Jesus who was the voice of God that cried out into the darkness and created all that exists, that Jesus is revealed in the Bible. The Jews were looking for a physical king who would lead them against Rome and would leave them to their sins. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they liked the way things were, except for the Romans. They wanted to be in charge. They did not want to accept Jesus for who and what he was. They wanted a Messiah who would allow them to be the leaders as they are, to act as they had, and Jesus called them out, and then they changed. They redefined what the word Messiah was even going to mean, so that it excluded Jesus. That's what happens today. People often will say, I don't want God because I don't want to have to give up this sin. Most problems with belief is not rational. It's not that there's something that they can't believe. It's volitional. There's something they don't want to do. God is saying, give up your drugs, give up your fornication, give up your lifestyle, give up your homosexuality, give up your lying, your cheating, give up your pride, give up your arrogance. And we would say, no, I would rather find another Jesus. And that's exactly what the Jews of Jesus' day did. And pastors know. The Jews were looking for a physical kingdom while Jesus came to build a spiritual kingdom. They stumbled because they refused to accept the word of God. Pastor's note, this is mostly true. However, don't think for a second that Jesus' offer to be the Messiah, to be the king, excluded totally the physical kingdom. If the Jews would have accepted him as is, Jesus would have set up a physical kingdom then and there. The problem wasn't necessarily that Jesus only came for a spiritual kingdom. The problem is they didn't want the kingdom he was selling. They didn't want the Jesus kingdom. They wanted their own kingdom. And they rejected the king because they didn't like the rules of his kingdom. Jesus knew before they even rejected him that they would reject him. And his reason for coming was to die for us on the cross, to pay for our sins, and to eventually... He is going to rule a physical kingdom on this earth, and we'll be a part of it. And pastors, no. Instead of becoming the foundation of their lives, Jesus became a rock that was in their way. Today, Jesus Christ is either a foundation stone of your life, or he is the rock of offense and inconvenience intrusion into your life. When we obey the word and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Jesus will be the cornerstone of our life. The people of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter used four illustrations to show us the new relationship we have to our Heavenly Father through Jesus. All of these are taken from life in the Old Testament in Israel. The chosen generation refers to the fact that God chose Abram. The royal priesthood refers to God's choice of the tribe of Levi for priestly duties. The holy nation is the nation of Israel, and the peculiar people are those who ignored the world in order to look for Messiah. Under the new covenant, and because of the death of Jesus, each individual believer has the privilege of coming directly into the presence of God. We do not approach God through any other human being. We come to God through our mediator, Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is alive in glory and because he is constantly interceding for us, we can serve him as priests. Our lives should be lived in the light of new understanding. In Israel, it was a privilege to be a priest. Only those who come from the tribe of Levi and consecrated for that purpose could serve at the altar or enter the tabernacle or the holy place of the temple. Every priest and Levite had a different service to perform, and they all worked together under the high priest. As God's priests today, we should all work together under the direction of our great high priest to offer spiritual sacrifices. The shadows are passed away and reality had come, so Christians do not need to bring animal sacrifices like people did under the law of Moses. Instead, we are to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. As Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to give praises of our lips. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, the Bible says, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. We are to do good works for others. Hebrews 13:16, but do good and communicate, forget not, with such sacrifices as God is well pleased. We are to give our money and share our material things with others in God's service. Philippians 4:10-20, the Bible says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am there to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again under my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire that fruit may be abound to your account. But now I have all, and abound and in full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We are to influence others and lead people to Christ. In Romans 15:16, the Bible says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable and being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. These are the sacrifices through Jesus Christ that are acceptable to God. If we do these things in pursuit of our own pleasure or glory, they will not be spiritual sacrifices. The priesthood of the believer is a new order of things that came about when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. The things of the old covenant and the shadows of the past were fulfilled, and a new order was instituted. And in this new order of things, or new covenant, every individual believer has permanent access to the throne of God. What a wonderful privilege we have through Jesus Christ our Lord.
A final word.
We live in a me-first world. Today, there is great emphasis placed on the individual rights. We are constantly taught that we should take care of ourselves, a little or of any regard to what happens to others. This is not a Christian attitude. A newborn baby must have attention from others. If left alone, a baby will suffer, maybe even will die. A building demands unity from its various parts. Without unity and purpose, a building is just a pile of rubble. A priest exists for the purpose of serving others. Without the needs of other people, a priest in Israel had nothing to do. The great message Peter was teaching here is what we are a part of, something larger than ourselves. A baby, a stone, or a priest is a part of life. As the children of God, we have been saved for a purpose. We discover our purpose as we serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord by serving each other. We must begin by desiring the sincere milk of the Word. When we learn to handle the milk, we can then move on to the meat. Everyone begins as a baby, but we must not try to stay babies. We must grow in grace and take our place in the great spiritual building the Lord is raising up throughout the ages. We do this when we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. God has a plan for every life, and the very best we can do is to follow where He leads. Then we are to serve as priests seeking the welfare of others. When we do, we'll grow up in Christ and be a blessing to our world. Thank you for listening to Lenz Creek Missionary Baptist Church's Sunday School Podcast. We invite you to join us at Lenz Creek Missionary Baptist Church, located at 3087 Lenz Creek Road in Hernshaw, West Virginia. Sunday school is at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. 11 a.m. is morning worship. Our evening worship is at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday night youth meeting and Bible study is at 7 p.m. God bless you and have a wonderful day.